Hey, it's John Carlson, Talk Radio 570 KVI. How are you? Good morning. It's Monday, February 4th. So glad you are here, getting the kids to school. Did you ever know a kid who had to go to summer school because he didn't have what it took to go to the next grade, so he was required to go to summer school so he could develop those skills before they pass them along? Did you think it was unfair to do that to that kid? There is a bill in Olympia. It's called Senate Bill 5237 that says if a child does not know how to read by the end of third grade, they must retake third grade. And they'll also get extra attention in the second go-round. They estimate that about 2,000 kids would be held back. It will cost a grand total of about $20 million to send them through third grade again because Washington spends about $10,000 per student. Yes, you didn't know that. Our underfunded students, Washington spends an average of $10,000 per student. That explains the $20 million price tag. Tutors, summer school classes, and other assistants are promised in the bill. But the bill is very controversial. Because if the kid scores the last level of the Washington Assessment of Student Learning Test on reading, then they would have to show that they could read proficiently before they would be allowed to pass on to fourth grade. And if not, they have to repeat with, again, tutors, summer school classes, etc. That might strike a lot of people as common sense. It is very controversial in the state capitol. Randy Dorn, the state superintendent of public instruction, former legislator, and a former teacher and principal, is opposing it. He said, I've sat with parents who were in tears that their child will be held back. It can be detrimental to the child. To draw a line and say this kid doesn't make it because of one test, something about that does not seem right. Close quotes. The Academy, schools of education aren't crazy about it either. Shane Jimerson from the School of Education, University of California, Santa Barbara, said 30 years ago, education researchers declared grade retention to be an unjustifiable, discriminatory, and noxious intervention, close quote. Of course, keep in mind, that's about the same time we started passing kids who couldn't do grade-level work up to the grade ahead, and then up to the grade above that, and the grade above that, and the grade above that, and we ended up graduating kids who couldn't read their diplomas. It was the scourge known as social promotion, where basically if you sat there in class, you got promoted. The question I have for you is, do you think it makes sense to hold back kids who can't read by the end of third grade? Should we hold them back? Or do we let them go forward and try and use counseling and assistance and tutoring to catch them up? I say hold them back. In fact, in 2000, the great crusade to remake American democracy in the gubernatorial campaign of a candidate who I don't recall at the immediate moment suggested kids not be allowed to pass on to third grade if they couldn't read by second grade. We're talking kids who are nine or 10. You shouldn't. It's a close call to whether you hold them back if they can't read by then. If you don't hold them back and you've got kids in fourth and fifth grade who can't read, that strikes me as child abuse. Can you imagine being in a class where you don't understand what's going on around you? Not just for a couple of days, but every day? You can't read the assignments, you can't read the school textbook. All you can do is listen to other people. That strikes me as child abuse. That strikes me as hideously cruel. You know, all knowledge is built on a foundation. The foundation is based on the basics, the fundamentals. We understand it most clearly when it comes to sports, that before kids can execute a double play, they better know how to field a ball. Before kids can swing for the fences, they better know how to swing a bat in a level, skillful way. If they better know how to throw a ball before they line up to pitch. So if we understand, if we all assume, well, of course you have to crawl before you walk, you have to learn the fundamentals of basketball or golf or baseball or any other sport, volleyball, before you actually start playing it, then why don't we apply that to academics? Well, of course you need to learn the basic building blocks of knowledge. Kids must be able to read before you expect them to go on and do other things. And why we don't drill down those basics in kids in the early grades and make sure they have that body of knowledge before we pass them along, where they become, quote, someone else's problem, close quote. I would be shocked if they did this in private schools. Private schools, you know, it's just one of those things that in the public schools, it just keeps happening. Let us get to your phone calls at 206-421-5757. Outside King County, got 1-888-312-5757. Going to start with Linda calling from Linwood. You're on with John Carlson here, KVI. Go for it, Linda.
Hey, John. I think, you know, we need to get over the idea that school is a social occasion. It has a purpose. And passing kids simply because they've marked time for that long is inappropriate. It exacerbates an already difficult situation we have with employment for young people. I work in an industry that hires an awful lot of fresh out of high school kids, and they can't read well enough to fill out an application. They can't interview because they can't speak the language well. And I'm talking people born here, not born from, you know, in some other place.
Yes, I should point out that the bill makes provisions for students with learning disabilities and for kids who aren't yet proficient with the English language. But for other kids who just aren't learning to read, who can't read at what most of us would consider a first grade level at the end of third grade, it just seems cruel to pass them on. Yeah, I know it's embarrassing to have to repeat a grade, and maybe if the kid goes to summer school, he or she, but it's mostly he, will pick up the skills necessary. But why on earth would you pass a kid into fourth grade who can't read?
You just put them at a terrible disadvantage. And, you know, I'm old enough to remember that we automatically held kids back if they didn't make it. I went to eighth grade with a kid that drove to school. That's inappropriate as well. But, my oldest niece is a high school teacher, and her summer job every year since she's been out of college has been teaching graduating seniors enough information that they can balance a checkbook, read a newspaper to find a job, get on the internet to find the job, that sort of thing. And they're graduating seniors in high school, which means somebody patted them on the head and sent them to the next grade throughout grade school, and they didn't learn the basic things that are the skills to get them a job and
sure.
Get them a place in life.
Yeah. Every line lit here on KVI. Let's run out here to Mike in Tacoma, hear what he has to say on KVI with John Carlson. Hey, Mike.
Hey, John. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to tie in with your analogy that you used with sports. It may sound cliche, but it's absolutely true. We would not send football players out of the field without the proper equipment and tools, you know, their pads. So why do we continue to send children forward into the world without the tools and equipment they need to succeed in the game of life, which is the most important game? There are no timeouts. There are no quarters. You can't regroup yourself and come back later. It is morally reprehensible. reprehensible that we continue to send children forward in the schools without the proper education at the grade level they're supposed to be at.
Yeah, no, I can't wait to hear where the teachers' unions, you know, come down on this one. Because, you know, again, I'm going to put most of the blame on parents. I mean, there is no excuse, unless you have a child with a severe learning disability, or your child doesn't yet learn English and you've got to master that. There is no excuse for a child not being able to read in the first grade. And if you, we're talking, you know, and a growing number of kids can read in kindergarten. So you got, you know, first grade, second grade. We're now through the third grade. And it's controversial for State Senator Bruce Dammeyer, who's got Democrats, including Steve Hobbs from Lake Stevens and Paul Shin from Edmonds joining him, who say that you shouldn't be passed into the fourth grade if you can't read? That's controversial? Let's go out here to Susan from Kirkland, hear what she has to say.
Hi, I'll be really fast. I have three professional children. The littlest one is an aerospace engineer for Boeing who was homeschooled because I got the education problem figured out early on with the other two. But the deal is that teachers' unions were the end of education. And my grandmother was a principal, and that was a long time ago. And when the unions came in here, she said, this is the end. You will not be able to educate a kid because it'll become a union thing. And that's what you have here. And I think it's really obvious to all of us that Randy Dorn doesn't really care about children at all. All he cares about is prolonging teachers' jobs. Half these teachers are not qualified to be in front of a class. And this is where parents need to stand up. You can put kids in school, even little boys, at 6 years old, it's not a problem. You just change the curriculum and stop having, you know, sort of what I call the war on boys, where these kids are not moving and there's no curriculum being taught because you have unqualified teachers and you have a union creating curriculum.
By the way, I should point out, there is a wonderful piece in the New York Times today by Christina Hoff Summers about how boys are being left behind in education, that this whole riff, this narrative for the last 20 years that girls are being left behind. She said, it's not true. It hasn't been true for a long time. Just look at colleges and universities. We got Nate in calling from Fort Lewis, McCourt, talking to us about this. You're in a battle with your kid's teacher about this?
Yeah, it just came up. My daughter's been falling behind for several years, and my wife and I have been concerned about it. The school called a meeting with the counselor and a bunch of her teachers, and we went in, and as we were talking, I'm like, okay, what about just holding her back? She's a grade behind. We hold her back a year, and she'll get caught up. It's not like we haven't been working with her, but she has trouble retaining stuff.
Okay.
And doesn't like to work hard, and their first response is, well, we don't want to do that because it'll hurt her self-esteem. And my self-esteem, what good is self-esteem when you can't function at the point where you're supposed to? What else is school for? But they're gung-ho on putting her in a whole bunch of...
You know, we should get beyond this notion that failure means your self-esteem is crushed. Oftentimes, failure is a predicate to building your self-esteem.
Because absolutely.
You try something, you fail, it hurts because you want to succeed. So what do? You work harder so you don't fail the next time around. I mean, how many of you out there listening to me were cut for a sports team, and then when you finally made the team, you felt great because you know how the gap between failing and succeeding.
Absolutely. If a kid doesn't face adversity in a school at all, and the first time they face it is when they graduate from college,
sure,
it's way too late to be trying to learn how to deal with it on the fly when they're supposed to be living on their own as an adult.
If she's last in her class, she'll have self-esteem issues the rest of school. You are absolutely right, and the school professionals, what do you know, are not. Let's go to Tracy from Puyallup. What do you think, Tracy?
Hi, John. I wanted to put it out there that I have a 7-year-old son that I had to hold back in kindergarten because he couldn't read.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I was having a problem with the school and the teacher. But what I wanted to call about was we discovered he had a visual processing disorder.
Okay.
The acuity was fine. The way he saw, he could see it. But the way his brain processed it was different. He also had a visual closure disorder, so he could see each individual letter, but he couldn't see it as a whole. And once we put him in occupational therapy at Mary Bridge Children's Hospital, they were able to work with him and teach him how to read.
All right. Thank you very much, Tracy. I'm so glad the story has a happy ending. Let's go to Cheryl real quickly. Cheryl, I'll give you 30 seconds. Go for it.
Good morning. Welcome back.
Thank you.
I have three issues here. What is the method that these children are being taught to read?
Okay, the phonics.
Phonics or
we only have a few seconds, though, but so we have to go over them real quickly.
Okay, and why, if a child reaches the third grade and he can't read, what's wrong with the parents? Why aren't they aware of this?
Absolutely.
That they've gotten that far. And also, thirdly, why aren't kids being taught basic life skills in high school so that they can graduate and function in the world instead of all this nonsense?
That is a separate issue, but equally valid. And I think you're right on the money on that, too. Just practical skills that so many kids are missing.